Text 21, the Supreme Personality of God, to continue my dear Dhruva. I shall award you the glowing planet known as Pole Star, which will continue to exist even after the dissolution at the end of the millennium. No one has ever ruled this planet, which is surrounded by all the solar system's planets and stars. All the luminaries in the sky circumambulate this planet as the bulls tread around a central pole for the purpose of crushing grains. Keeping the pole star to their right, all the stars inhabited by great sages like Dharma, Agni, Kasyapa, and Shukra circumambulate this planet, which continues to exist even after the dissolution of all others. Purpose of the pole star existed before its occupation by Dhruva-Bhagavan, but there's no predominating deity. Dhruva-Loka, pole star, is the center for all the stars and solar systems. For all of them circle around Dhruva-Loka just as a bull crushes grains by walking around and around the central pole. Dhruva wanted the best of all planets, and although it was a childish prayer, the Lord satisfied his demand. A small child may demand something from his father, which his father has never given to anyone else, but out of affection, the father offers it to the child. Similarly, this unique planet, Dhruva-Loka, was offered to Maharaj Dhruva. Thus, the specific significance of this planet is that until the entire universe is annihilated, this planet will remain, even during the devastation which takes place during the night of Lord Brahma. There are two kinds of dissolution, one during the night of Lord Brahma and one at the end of Brahma's life. At the end of Brahma's life, selected personalities go back from back to Godhead. Dhruva Maharaj is one of them. The Lord assured Dhruva that he would exist beyond the partial dissolution of this universe. Thus, at the end of the complete dissolution, Dhruva Maharaj would go directly to Vaikuntha Loka, to the spiritual planet and the spiritual sky. Sri Krishna Chakravarti Thakur promised in his connection that Dhruva Loka is one of the lokas with like Svetavi, Mathura, and Dwarka. They are all eternal places in the kingdom of God, which is described in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Vedas. The word Parastatkapa is Vasinam, transcendental to the planets inhabited after dissolution, refers to Vaikuntha planets. In other words, Dhruva Maharaj's promotion to the Vaikuntha Loka was guaranteed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm very safe by prayer. Continue my dear Vidura when Dhruva Maharaj was good intention to start finish his prayer. The Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead, who was very kind and devoted in service, congratulated speaking as follows. So, now what did the Lord promise? He promised to fulfill Dhruva's desire, and Dhruva's desire was for a kingdom greater than that of his father, his grandfather, and even Lord Brahma. So normally that would be impossible, because we know that Brahma-loka is the highest planet, and you cannot simply kick Brahma out and occupy that planet. So how is it possible? So that is why the Lord said here that it is difficult to fulfill Dhruva's desire. Now, Dhruva did not directly state this to the Lord, because when he saw the Lord, he understood that such a desire was foolish and useless. But nevertheless, the Lord understood that desire, and even though Dhruva gave up that desire when he saw the Lord, still, the Lord decided that he would fulfill that desire. Why? Because it is said that the Lord fulfills the desires of the devotees. So therefore, he wanted to fulfill that. Now, of course, it's a material desire. And we know that material bhakti or karma mr. bhakti is not the best type of bhakti. Still, the Supreme Lord wanted to give him this material benefit, just to illustrate the fact that the Lord also fulfills material desires. At the same time, we know from Bhagavatam that it is also stated that often the devotees are poor, and the Lord doesn't give them things, whereas the devotees of Lord Shiva are often very wealthy. Yeah. so how is it that at the same time that the Lord can bestow material benefits, it looks like he doesn't? So it is stated also in the Bhagavatam that if the Lord sees that the material benefits are not favorable for that person's development, he will take the things away. On the other hand, he may supply everything material to that person if it is not a hindrance to his spiritual life. So we see both examples in the Bhagavatam where the Lord takes things away sometimes from persons, and also we see where he gives things. So for instance, an example of Bharat, he renounced everything, then he became a deer, then he became a brahmana, whatever. So when Bharat became a brahmana, Jatbara, then he was penniless. He was he rejected everything purposefully. He didn't want anything. And we see the example of the Avanti Brahmana in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. He also rejected everything and wandered around with no attachments. On the other hand, we see other devotees of the Lord, such as Prithu or Priyavrata or any of the Manus, Swayambhuva Manu. They were great kings and they ruled the whole earth. They had great wealth, they had great possessions and properties and power. And they're still devotees. We see the case of Ambarish, celebrated in the 9th canto of Bhagavatam. He was a great devotee of the Lord also. But he was a king, and he had he ruled most of the Varshas in the Bhumandala. So he was a great king, but nevertheless, he was devotee of the Lord, and the Lord supplied him with everything. Or we see the case of the Pandavas. The Pandavas got to rule. Now they were devotees, but they also got to rule the world. So the Lord does not necessarily take anything or everything away from devotees. He may also supply if it is not unfavorable for their bhakti, if it is part of the Lord's leela, etc. For different reasons he may give. And in other cases, he may take things away. So he also took everything away from the Pandavas. So for many years they had nothing and they were in the forest. So it's always up to the will of the Lord what he wants to do with the devotees. And the devotees accept either case because they are not interested in material benefits or whatever. So according to the case, the Lord may give or may not give. In this case, the Lord gave. Of course, one to show that he fulfills promises for material benefit. The other thing is that he also knew that Dhruva had to fulfill a role as a king in the line from Swayambhuva Manu, so he had to rule the earth anyway. So he gave him that kingdom after his father Uttanapada. So he ruled after him and fulfilled his duty and upheld Dharma, and at the same time he was a devotee. And then he gave him that pole star, which we call Dhruva Loka. So of course the word Dhruva means fixed or determined or whatever, certain. And the pole star is called Dhruva Loka because it is also fixed. So Dhruva was fixed in his vow to attain the Supreme Lord, therefore he practiced bhakti, and then the Lord appeared. So the pole star is fixed. All the other stars seem to move in the sky, but the pole star doesn't move. Everything moves around that star. So it's got a very special position because of that. So this place was awarded to Dhruva after he saw the Lord. So this place is very special because whereas ruling the kingdom stops after a certain time, the Manus rule and then their descendants rule for 71 yuga cycles, which are millions and millions of years. But Dhruva, he continues there day after day of Brahma. all through the day of Brahman, next day of Brahman, whatever, he can maintain that type of position. So he has very, very long life. And so in that sense it is very, very great. So the Lord fulfilled his desire to have a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma's. In the Bhagavatam we will see that ultimately Dhruva went to the spiritual world. He was blessed by the Lord so that he attained a spiritual body and went to the spiritual world. So that was the other desire. So first he had the desire for the kingdom. The Lord granted that. He gave up that desire and instead he simply wanted the Lord. So that desire also was granted by the Lord. So both of his desires, that material desire and the desire for devotion, both of these things were granted by the Supreme Lord. Of course, of the two, simply getting the devotion to the Lord, that is the greater of the two. And Dhruva did not consider the blessing of staying and ruling the kingdom to be a good blessing at all. But because it is his duty to do so, to rule after the Manus, he did so in accordance with the will of the Lord. Just as the Manus rule and Ambarish rule, they did not reject their duties, they continued their duties also. So Dhruva took up this role and he lived for thousands and thousands of years doing this. But he did not waver in his devotion. So in that sense, he remained Dhruva. So it was not a danger for him to stay in that situation where he was surrounded by wealth and power, etc. He remained a devotee of the Lord all the way through his career, and then he was rewarded by the Lord, Dhruva Loka, and then went to the spiritual world. So the both desires were fulfilled, but ultimately, of course, the desire was to have devotion, and that's the greater of the two things. So in any case, along with the material desire, he also maintained that devotion. So the Dhruva started out with mixed bhakti, which means he worshipped the Lord and he had desires. So he wanted desires fulfilled, material desires fulfilled. So that was fulfilled. But he also worshipped the Lord. So in that worship, of course, it was not solely desire for material benefits. He also had some devotion to the Lord. And therefore, when he saw the Lord, he was struck by and appreciating the Supreme Lord. He was not in any way simply after material benefits alone. So he worshipped Vishnu as advised by his mother Narada Muni, and he was devoted to that. So in that sense he was also doing bhakti. At the same time he had the material desire. So both desires were fulfilled by the Lord finally. And of the two, the desire for the Lord and his service, that was the that's the greater one. So that is the one that is treasured by the Lord. But along with that, for the pastimes of the Lord, we see the other goal also is there. Ultimately, we should not call it material benefit, because Dhruva has no attachment for that. So it is simply a service to the Lord. Just as in the material world, we engage things in the service of the Lord, and that is called Yukta Vairagya. It's not called attachment to material things. So we use things, material objects, for the service of the Lord. So similarly, Dhruva was in the material world with all that wealth, but he didn't use anything for himself. He used it all for glorification of the Supreme Lord. And so he ruled the kingdom under the order of the Lord and used everything in a devotional way. So there was no karma attached to that. And similarly, Ambarish did the same thing. He ruled the kingdom and whatever, but he was not attached to anything. So all of these are examples of devotees who were in a very good material position, But they transform those material things into spiritual objects by using them for the service of the Lord. So therefore, we should understand that material objects are not necessarily bad or obstacles. They can be favorable if used for the Lord with no material attachment. On the other hand, if one is not qualified, and one becomes attached to those objects, then of course it becomes an obstacle. And that's called a weed in devotional service. So it can act as an anartha also. In these cases, however, we see that they weren't anartha. They were favorable for their devotional service, and they utilized everything for the service of the Lord. Material things.
But the thing we should look face to face, and we should also touch what comes and we say, all is material design completely aggregated, completely created. And you depend on why you are asking for material design.
Yeah.
Still not completely.
Yeah.
After you depend on.
Well, as I said, simply to show that the Lord also fulfills material desires, and He will do that if it is not unfavorable for the devotion, the person. If it doesn't interrupt his devotion, then he will do that. If it does, then he will, may take everything away and not supply anything.
It's
in the material world.
Okay, when the material world is elevated, the Purusha is not elevated.
Well,
Guru Maharaj was ruling the Purusha.
Yeah, but when it's not annihilated during the partial annihilation at the end of the day of Brahma. Of course, when everything is annihilated, then everything disappears. So we don't see anything. The property is not there anymore. But Dhruva is there because he's in the spiritual world. We can say in the spiritual world, they also have a planet for Dhruva. Yeah. And so after the material world is destroyed, nothing remains. Property is gone. Everything is no more universe. So therefore, the pole star can't exist because there's no universe there.
But you are ruling the pole star.
Yeah. When he went to Vaikuntha.
That 6,000 years span was given. Not for the doing the 6,000. After 6,000 years span on basis.
What's that?
The span of the Dhruva Nakshatra was given 6,000 years. He ruled it for.
Oh, the earth. He ruled the earth first. Then he went to Dhruva Loka. And then he went to Vaikuntha. No, 36,000 years on earth.
When he was there.
Yeah. Well, Manu rules for 4 million times 71. Manu rules. Manu rules for 71 like that almost. The Manu lasts that long. Millions and millions and millions and millions of years. Each Manu. Huh? Yeah. Full star.
Now, is it right to think that Dhruva was giving the devotee only opportunity rather than the Lord? So, was the devotee right to think?
Well, he had devotional sentiments, obviously, because all of the rulers from Manu down, Swayambhu Manu, were devotees of the Lord, so he also knew. And when his mother said he should worship Vishnu, he took that to heart, so he understood, you know, about Vishnu also.
His stepmother told him
not
to sit on the back of his father.
Yeah, stepmother. The mother told him.
Stepmother told him. Yeah. But that was something like a blessing in disguise for him.
Well, Prabhupada said that if he quotes the verse from Bhagavad Gita, the Lord takes everything away when when the pharmaceutical business failed and somebody stole everything, and he said, okay, the will of the Lord takes everything away. So he accepted that, the will of the Lord.
But there was a verse in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna wants to show his favor to them.
Yeah, he takes everything away. So that's what he did.
So about the feeling the favor to him, and about loving himself.
గురు మహారాజు తక్షణం కల్పన అంటారు మహారాజు.